Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode, a milestone episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we are unlocking inspiration one quote at a time. And today is our 30th episode. And so, as you know, every 10 episodes, we take a look back at the previous nine guests and listen to those quotes again. It's always good to go back and listen and refresh ourselves on what we've learned over the past 9 weeks. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to highlight each special guest that we've had on the Quotivation Podcast from episodes 21 to 29. And then at the end, I'm going to provide us with one more quote, our 30th quote of the Quotivation Podcast, to help you win your week. Now, typically, we start every show with a shot of motivation, but because this is a milestone episode, we're going to jump right in. However, this episode is sponsored by my good friend, Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. And Amy is with Fairway Mortgage. She is the real deal. Ask her about so many things that are going on there at Fairway Mortgage. They have deals for everyone. They have specials that are going on for Patriot specials. They have this cash guarantee program that will give you a cash offer to buy your home if it doesn't sell before an allotted time period. That removes the contingency to buy. Amy has exactly what you need. No matter what it is that you need from a mortgage perspective, she can take care of you. Give her a call today, 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can email her as well at amy.reihl, R-E-I-H-L, and that's at fairwaymc.com. Amy Real is the real deal for all things mortgage, and you can call her and tell her you were Quotivated to get your mortgage deal done. Her NMLS number is 486-620. Amy Real. Amy, thank you so much, not only for being the real deal in all things mortgage, but thank you for your sponsorship of the Quotivation Podcast. All right, let's get to it. We're going to dive right in to all nine guests that we have had from episode 21 to 29, and we're going to hear the wisdom that comes with all of their quotes. So let's do it.
It's time to celebrate. The Quotivation Podcast has hit a milestone, and we are going to celebrate our win and look back to see what we have learned. Come along for the ride and stay for the whole party as Jody provides one of his own quotes to get you quotivated. So get fired up and ready to be inspired so that you can win your week.
All right, let's begin our look back over the last nine guests of the Quotivation Podcast, starting with episode 21, which is a very, very special episode, maybe my favorite episode that we've ever done, as it fell on Memorial Day week. And we had the opportunity to honor Sergeant First Class Alwin Cash, who lost his life heroically saving the lives of others. And we got to tell his story. I discovered a quote that his sister had shared on another podcast, and it was a quote that she and Alwin lived by, and that was the quote that posthumously Alwin brought to us, and it was a powerful quote. So let's take a look back right now. It's episode 21, Sergeant First Class Alwin Cash. All right, let's get to our very special guest this week, Sergeant First Class Alwin Cash. Was a United States Army senior non-commissioned officer who was awarded the Medal of Honor for heroism in Iraq. Today, I honor our guest posthumously and welcome his memory and his spirit to the Quotivation Podcast on this very special Memorial Day episode. Sergeant First Class Alwin Cash succumbed to his injuries he received bravely, disregarding his own personal well-being to save his men. On November 8th, 2005, Alwin was in pain no more. To the very end, his sister recalls that he was constantly asking, "How are the boys? How are the guys? Is everyone okay?" His sister also recalls in her interview with Triple Nickel that Alwin lived by a credo that was established, that was ingrained in them by their father. And so today, our quote from Sergeant First Class Alwin Cash is this: "Whatever you do, do it like you are putting your name on it." Alwin's sister, Cassinel Cash White, says this is the lesson that she takes to heart. In fact, when she writes out her name, she writes out her entire name, and said Alwin would do the same. Because if it's something worth doing, then you should be able to put your whole name on it. What a legacy. What a legacy to learn from their father. A legacy to pass on to their children, to their nieces, to their nephews, to the family. And because of Alwin's story to me, and now to all of you, what an amazing story. Sergeant First Class Alwin Cash, if you've not seen episode 21, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the entire story, the bravery, the sacrifice that that man made for not only just his men that he was assigned to, that he was in charge of, but the sacrifice that he made for defending freedom for you and for me. That is something. That is something that I would assume Alwin Cash would gladly sign his entire name to. Such a great episode and such a great story, a story of inspiration, truly one that honors Memorial Day. On to another great story. Episode 22 had our very special guest, wonderful entrepreneur, a seasoned leader, and a story of trials and tribulations to get there. And that guest was Paul Pappy. Let's take a look back and hear the inspirational quote that Paul has to share with us. Paul, I want to get into your quote. I love this quote. So what I want you to do, I want you to tell us what the quote is, who said it, and why is this quote impactful to you?
Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson, he's just full of fantastic quotes and would have been great at a dinner party, you know. But the quote that I selected is, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." And that just kind of resonates with me, because I was a follower in my youth. I wanted to kind of blend in and be in the shadows. And when we moved to South Carolina, my mom had told me, "You have an opportunity to be whoever you want because you're moving to a place where no one knows you." And she said, "I think the fact that you don't really know who you are yet gives you an opportunity to kind of explore who that guy is."
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the attitude shift that I had. And if you had known me when I was younger than 16 years old, you'd be like, "Who is this guy?" But when I moved down here, I just kind of blossomed into somebody that I had never known. And I'm still getting to know that guy over time. But when I became a Christian, I mean, we talked about identity a lot, identity in Christ, you know, to whom you belong. And that's one side of it. But I think as a man, finding your identity is, you know, kind of what your service position is in this world. What's your purpose of existence?
Sure.
And I think all sentient beings desire to know what their purpose is. And everyone wants to know, why am I here? It's as simple as figure out what you do well, repeat that in front of others so that they might repeat it in front of others. That goes for discipleship. That goes for ethical business practice. That goes for just being a good human.
Yeah.
And I've fallen in love with it. I mean, I really discovered that, you know, where my place is in the world is to help people. And long after Sunfast is gone, that's what I want my life's work to be about, is figuring out where the need is and extending that hand.
What I love about this quote, what I learned from this is really, it summed up in one word. It's authenticity. It's understanding who you are, what you believe in, what you stand for, what your values are, writing those things down, writing out a value statement to really clearly define what makes you, you, and then going out and living it. You got to go live it. As Paul said, you got to figure out what it is and then do that in front of other people, so that they recognize the real and authentic you. And as the quote says, that's the biggest challenge there is in this world, because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know your identity, if you don't know what your values are, there are people in this world, there are influences in this world that will absolutely define them for you. They will tell you what they should be. And if you're not grounded and you don't have a clear understanding of who you are, then that's what you'll become. Whatever someone else says. They have no right. They have no right to tell you who you are, what you believe, and how you should think, act, behave. This is your life. Discover your values. Discover what's important to you. Be truly authentic. And that was Paul Pappy with an amazing quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Talking about the difficulty of being yourself in a world that wants to redefine you. All right, let's take a look back at episode 23, Vicki Paris Goodman. What an amazing guest. Vicki had an incredible story, has written an amazing book, and really has shifted her perspective on losing a loved one through her personal experiences. And she shares this powerful quote. Let's take a look back. Episode 23, Vicki Paris Goodman. So Vicki, let's talk about a quote. You brought a wonderful quote, and I would love for you to share the quote, who said it, and why it's inspiring to you.
This is from Franz Kafka, rather famous person, and it's a little bit long, but I love it, and I'm glad that it wasn't too long for you, Jody. Okay, here it is. Everything you love will probably be lost, but in the end, love will return in another way. Embrace the change. It's inevitable for growth. Together, we can shift pain into wonder and love, but it is up to us to consciously and intentionally create that connection.
Wow. And that is exactly what you've been talking about this entire episode. I can see why this quote speaks directly to you. It is I love this. Everything, it starts off so ominously. And we know this, that everything that we love will probably be lost. Now, being lost doesn't mean it's gone forever. It just means it's not with us. And I think so many people who are facing the loss of a loved one, who don't have that belief, or who don't have that quote unquote, that blessed hope of seeing them again. I can't imagine the feeling of that loss, but it doesn't have to be an eternal loss. And so as we think about the beginning of that, everything you love will probably be lost. Oh, that sounds so dark but it's not. Because of everything that comes after that, embracing the change, love will return in another way, much like the apparition that returns nightly for you, right? It's inevitable for growth. We you know, there's like three things that are constant in life: death, taxes, and change, right?
Absolutely.
So powerful. So, Vicky, as we think about this, how do we shift? How do we shift that pain into wonder and love? Like the quote says, it says, together we can shift pain into wonder and love. How do we do that?
Well, I think we need to understand that there is a reason for things that happen, and that God is teaching us things with everything that happens to us, especially adverse things that happen. You know, God isn't punishing us. He doesn't want us to be miserable, but he wants us to learn things. Yes. I am convinced of it. You know, you can read near-death experiences, and there are thousands of them out there. I've read just a few so far, but they will change your life if you are looking to obtain greater faith in these things like God and an afterlife, because they have things in common and they differ in certain ways too. So there's the near-death experiences, which I would highly recommend people look into a few of them. So when you think that everything bad that happens to you, whether it be just a bad hair day or, you know, something really terrible, you know, your house burns down or you lose someone, you know, someone passes, someone who was close to you. Now, what I do before I start, you know, having a tantrum, I start thinking, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this?
Yes.
And usually I can figure it out, whether it has to do with my impatience or something else.
And that was Vicky Paris Goodman, an amazing story about love and loss and the perception of loss and how we deal with that. So if you have not seen episode 23, I would encourage you to go back and listen to Vicky's story. Check out her book, To Sam With Love, her amazing husband, Sam, who she lost and discovered a way to really shift how she viewed the loss of a loved one. And it's inspiring and it's very thought-provoking. And it causes you to think about things that we lose, and not just loss and death, but that could be loss and other things as well. There's all kind of loss. And how we shift our mindset to that, it's incredibly important. Incredibly important to stay tethered and grounded to your faith. Incredibly important to understand that love will come back, can come back, that loss does not have to be loss eternal. And so that's encouraging. And it was a blessing to talk to Vicky Paris Goodman. And I would encourage you to go back and check out episode 23 with Vicky and hear her story. Episode 24 was really exciting, because I got to talk with a ninja, a rebel ninja, Nick Smith. Nick is an amazing individual. Nick has challenged with a disability that you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know just talking with him to listen to him. But he shares, he is an advocate for individuals with disabilities and has an amazing story. He is also rumored to be an amazing dancer. It hasn't been confirmed. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. But Nick, I know you're watching. We're going to get you over here in the States, buddy, and we're going to go out clubbing. I want to see the Rebel Ninja on the dance floor. But Nick shared a very powerful, inspiring quote. Let's take a look back. Episode 24, Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja. And what I want to do now, Nick, because this is a great transition, a great time to transition, I want to hear this quote. This quote is powerful in and of itself, but your story with this quote, I can't wait to dive in. So tell us the quote, who said it, and why is this quote so inspiring for you?
Okay. My quote is, the greatest risk is not taking one. Mm. And it's by Tim Fargo.
And tell us why this quote is literally emblazoned on your body. Folks, this is the first guest I've ever had that has the quote tattooed on their body. Tell us about this, Nick.
So the quote, I'll explain the quote before I explain their tattoo. But the quote for me embodies my message and reminds me, and that's why it's tattooed on my chest, tattooed by my heart, is because the greatest risk is not taking one, right? So live life every day. Remember, I told you earlier on this episode, I hate the what if.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there and you're going, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take the risk, right? And then learn from it. So, because the greatest risk is not taking one. Because if you do something, something can happen. Whether sure. it's positive or negative, you've made something happen. And either way, you can grow from it, right? If it's positive, you can grow. If it's negative, you can grow. If it's positive, you can do it more. If it's negative, you can reflect on it and change it.
Sure.
And so, like, that's why it's so empowering for me, is because it reminds me, yes, this is a little bit scary. Yes, you're stepping out of your comfort zone, or you're growing your comfort zone. And yes, things might go wrong, but do it anyway. Because you're going to be empowered.
And that was Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja, episode 24, the Quotivation Podcast. I would encourage you to go back and hear Nick's entire story. It is so inspirational, and you can understand why he would tattoo the quote above his heart. You'll hear the story of that, of how he got his nickname, the Rebel Ninja, which is also pretty amazing as well. But the quote itself just stands out to me. The greatest risk is the one not taken. Powerful quote, and very true, and very, very poignant for us. When we think about winning our week, we are always constantly evaluating risks in our lives, whether it's in our personal lives, our careers, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in decisions on making changes in our lives. There's always risks associated with change. There's risk associated with just about everything that we do. But to think that the greatest risk is to sit there and look back and say, boy, I wish I had done this. Or, gee, I wish I had done that. I wish I had said this. I wish I had expressed something to someone that I needed to express. I wish I had said something that needed to be said. I wish I would have done that action. I wish I'd have taken that chance. I wish I would have invested in that business. I wish I would have gone back and truly followed my passion, my heart. Doesn't mean it's all going to work out. It doesn't mean every risk is going to pay off. In fact, most of them won't. But you won't know until you take them. And that's why not taking a risk is the greatest risk of all. And that was Nick Smith, the Rebel Ninja, episode 24. Episode 25, we dance our way on to our very special guest in episode 25, Corinne Daniels. Corinne is just an amazing person, and talks about the power of movement, of dance, of allowing your body to express what's on your heart and your mind, and finding the psychological healing that comes through movement and dance. And she shares a very special quote, an inspiring one. So let's take a look back. Episode 25, Corinne Daniels. Corinne, I want to transition a little bit into your quote, because I love the quote. I'm very fond of the person who wrote it. I've come to know them very well lately, and I'm so excited for you. If you would tell us the quote, and of course, who wrote it, and why is it so inspiring to you?
I think the one I sent you was "Dance Like God Is Watching."
Yep.
That's my quote. Yep. It's God's quote that, you know, I actually have a ton of them, and I release one a week. So I'm working towards gathering it into a dance devotional book. But this one that I chose for you and for us today is "Dance Like God Is Watching." And I use that quite often in my dance classes too, at the beginning of class, to remind students what we're doing, what's going on. There is a higher power. And if we choose to believe and tap into that higher power, that higher power will guide us throughout our life.
That was Corinne Daniels, with her quote, dance like God is watching, because he is. And it's a comfort and it's a joy to be able to express ourselves in a way that provides worship and praise to God. And really, for this quote, for me, what it comes down to is the fact that we are on this earth for a reason, for a purpose. And there are multiple purposes, multiple reasons for each of us to live out our lives and what those are. And it's up to us to discover them. And when we do, we should absolutely express our joy and our excitement for understanding why we were put here in the first place. And so Corrine, obviously a wonderful dancer, choreographer. She has a heart for it. She has a passion for it. She has since she was little. Go back and listen to the episode. You hear her story starting in a little Mexican restaurant where she was cheered on by her parents as she was performing for everyone. And such encouragement, such wonderful people who inspired and encouraged her to pursue her passions. And that encouragement continued as she found relationships throughout her life. So go back and check out Corrine's story. It's an incredible story. And then when you find your passion, when you find your joy, when you find your reason for being here, then celebrate. Dance as if God is watching. That was episode 25. Episode 26, an incredibly inspiring episode about relationships, solving the issues that come up between people, the things that tear families apart, the things that tear relationships down. How do we solve for those instead of allowing them to win? And Fred Talisman, a relationship expert, was on the Quotivation podcast providing his inspiring quote for you. Let's take a listen. Fred Talisman on episode 26 of the Quotivation podcast.
Okay. my quote is, I don't believe in the no-win scenario. And that's credited to James T. Kirk.
James T. Kirk, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly right. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, James T. Kirk. I don't believe in no-win scenarios. Fred, tell me, in all seriousness, beside the fact that you and I can talk about Star Trek for the next probably 2 hours, tell me why I don't believe in no-win scenarios is a powerful quote for you.
I think it's a really useful belief. It may not be true 100% of the time, but if you have that assumption, that attitude, you don't believe in no-win scenarios, and you put up the time to see who has your answers, your fixes, they're usually out there.
Yeah. It's a powerful quote in terms of mindset. And I think that's where we always have to start when we're thinking about situations that we're facing, problems we're facing, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, whether it's financial, whatever. A lot of the solutions are simply found by changing mindset. And if not accepting a no-win scenario, if things look dire, things look like there's no way out of this, there's always a way. And finding that belief will absolutely change the way you think about things. And in the movie, with James Kirk, you know, Captain Kirk was talking about how he beat the Kobayashi Maru, right? The scenario.
That was the context.
Yeah. And so the scenario was literally a training process for cadets at Starfleet. There was absolutely no way to win it. It was designed that way until James Kirk reprogrammed it to allow for an out. And people say, oh, you cheated. Well, no, he said, I changed the parameters of the test, which is amazing. And so when we think about situations that we're in where it just feels like there's no win, I think it comes down to, well, what changes can we make to change the parameters of the situation that we're in? And I would imagine that's true in relationships, right?
That is. When I've got a problem in my life, I look for who's the best expert I can get coaching from to fix that problem. Hmm. Relationship, that's me. For other problems, you know, there are other people out there that are great, that make it not a no-win scenario.
Yeah. That was Fred Talisman on the Quotivation Podcast, bringing out my inner Trekkie with a quote from the great Captain James T. Kirk. I don't believe in no-win scenarios. It's an interesting thought, an interesting mindset, because I'm sure there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of situations that you could point to say, well, that's not true, because here's a no-win scenario for you. But I think it depends on your definition of winning. What does it mean to win? What is victory in a scenario? And who gets to define that? You know, in the movie, James T. Kirk reprogrammed the no-win scenario to allow for a win. When we are faced with a situation, what are the wins that we're looking for? If we're looking for the wrong type of win, then yeah, there are no win scenarios. There are things that just aren't going to happen. But when we reframe the situation to allow for specific wins that we can claim, that we can grab, that we can hold on to, we can utilize, we can allow for growth, that's when there is no such thing as a no-win scenario. And as Fred said, and as we discussed, it all comes down to mindset, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your job, career, friendships, whatever the case may be. If you're facing something dire and it looks like there's no way to win, maybe you're not looking for the right wins. That was Fred Talisman, fantastic relationship expert. If you're facing trouble in your relationship right now, go back, listen to episode 26 with Fred. Go to the episode notes, find his contact information, and reach out to him. Fantastic counselor, fantastic coach, and a wonderful relationship guru to help you get right back on the same page with your spouse, with your significant other, with the other person that's in your life that you're having trouble connecting with. That was Fred Talisman. Thank you, Fred, for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Episode 27, a dear friend, a fellow Toastmaster, and somebody that I think is one of the greatest orators that I have ever heard, a great speaker. He's from New Zealand, so you can't help but to love to hear him speak just for the accent. But what he says is incredibly impactful and powerful. He's an encourager, and he is a great motivator and a wonderful speaker. He is Brian Wolfe. Let's take a listen to Brian's quote. So, Brian, let's hop into your quote. I can't wait to talk about this one. If you would, tell us what your quote is, who said it, and why it's impactful for you.
Okay. The quote is, and I normally adapt the quote a little to fit my time and so on, but the quote is, the most difficult math to master is to learn how to count your blessings. And that was from Eric Hoffer, The author of a book called The True Believer and a number of other books, but he was an amazing American, basically little educated, but became self-educated, became one of the wisest men in America. And he used to share his wisdom in his writings and so on. But the reason why that is so important, because it relates to two or three other quotes that are very, very dear to me. And for example, one is Dr. Seuss. We're all at times invited to funerals and so on and write notes to people. But one of the greatest lessons I've learned is a Dr. Seuss quote. And that was, he said, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. And that is one of the nicest consolation pieces I think you can give somebody.
Yes.
And it's not just when people die, it's when your kid has a bad time. They all have their boyfriends and girlfriends, they break up, they get a job and get fired, all these things. But remember, there's a two-part to it. And another one is from a true story from the fellow in the Second World War. And he was working in an aircraft factory, building planes for the British to go and fight in Europe. And he had a terrible accident. He lost both of his hands. And he was in distraught for a couple of years until someone told him, it's not what you've lost, it's what you have left that matters. Mm. And that changed his mind. He became a different person because he started thinking differently.
Sure.
And that gets back to Hofford. It's really count our blessings. We are blessed with so much. I read a quote the other day from St. Augustine, how he talks about back in 400 AD, we go and travel the world to see the mountains and the rivers and everything else. We take these great distances, but we forget to look at ourselves, the miracle of ourselves. We don't count our blessings.
Yep.
That's a tragedy.
It is.
We forget what we have. We forget about our family. How well do we know our own town? I mean, there's so much that we overlook. And it's being aware. In fact, I was hearing a speech only last night. I'm a speechaholic. I love listening to them whenever I can. And this guy was speaking. One of his great lessons was, be curious. He said, if I was running a school, that'd be the first thing I'd do. Every day at the end of school, I'd say, what did you learn today? Be curious. We all have a cell phone. We can all ask any questions we like about the world. Right. Be curious. And that would be the greatest educational gift that he would love to give to the world. Fascinating. But that's really what it's all about. It's about being curious and being grateful because it opens your eyes.
And that was Brian Wolfe with his quote that the greatest math that is most difficult to master is the ability to count your blessings. And then on top of that, there were other quotes that were there to support that statement. I love the one from Dr. Seuss, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. This gives you such great perspective and mindset. How do we view things? The story of the World War II, a gentleman that was working to build planes, lost his hands, struggled with the law, struggled with what was not there anymore until he was told, it's not about what you've lost. It's about what's left. It's about what you have. It's about counting your blessings. It's such a difficult thing for us to do in a fast-paced, busy world that is constantly moving us on to the next thing. How often do we stop, look around, smell the proverbial roses, and count the blessings that we have? Powerful quote from Brian Wolfe, episode 27. You want to go back and hear all about Brian's travels around the world and his experiences in Toastmasters. Such a wonderful friend, a wonderful speaker in Brian Wolfe. Episode 28, we're getting creative with Karen DeLoach. Karen, just fantastic in terms of what she does to work with her students to unleash creativity. And it's a passion of mine. I love that. I love being creative. I love using that side of my brain to create something that just wasn't there anymore. That was a figment in my imagination and bringing it to life. Powerful stuff. Well, Karen has figured out that being creative increases the ability for your brain to process and to heal, for those synapses to fire in your brain. Being creative allows for healing. And she's discovered that and seen that in some of her patients. So we're going to go back to episode 28. We're going to hear the inspiring quote from Karen DeLoach.
Well, and the other thing too, it's fun. It's fun. And Karen, that leads right into our quote. So I want to jump into that. I love this quote. I want you to, if you would, tell us the quote and who said it and why this really inspires you.
Yeah, Albert Einstein, of course, one of the 20th century's proclaimed geniuses of the generation, was very involved in creativity. Has a lot of quotes, but this one I love. He said, creativity is intelligence, having fun.
Wow. And I understand from a lot of your stories and from this conversation why you chose this quote, but really, what does this quote say to you and the importance of creativity in our lives?
Well, first of all, coming from a man who's considered one of the greatest geniuses of the 20th century, it touches me. It kind of validates, you know, my coming. You know, what can an artist do? What kind of, you know, place in the world who has musicians, actors, you know, we try kind of, I'm not saying trivialize, but I think in a lot of our world, it is trivialized the creative world. And and those creatives, if we're not the 1% that makes a good living to the rest of us, we're not necessarily starving artists, but you know, it's not, our motive isn't money, and it never has been, never could be. It's just not who we are. But we got validated by one of the smartest men of the 20th century. And he obviously valued creativity. He has many quotes about creativity. And because he was an inventor, he was already understanding that he wasn't just smart in his left brain. His part of his intelligence was because he was engaging his right brain in conjunction with his left brain. Yep. So he was living what I am talking about. And I believe that's true for everyone who's listening. You can be more brilliant. It seems to overcome brain fog. It helps with memory, intelligence. So there's all kinds of ways. I don't believe, I'm 70 years old, and I don't believe I'm going to be operating in a diminished mental capacity, because I'm making a choice every day. You know, it only takes, depending upon what study, 15 to 20 minutes a day. It's not like you have to, oh my gosh, I just don't have time to add one more thing to my day. Yes, right. You do. You got 20 minutes somewhere, you know, 20 minutes to take a walk and notice the moment. Be in the moment. That engages your right brain. Be in the moment. Sing in the car. Go ahead. Belt it. Who's going to complain? Right.
Well, that was Karen DeLoach with her quote from Albert Einstein, that creativity is intelligence, having fun. And Karen has seen this. And it's not just having fun, but it's healing. It's healing. She has students who have challenges. She talked about them in the episode that have come to her where they've learned to paint, they've learned to sculpt, they've learned to express themselves creatively, and they've come out of their shell. It has improved them. It has helped them to begin to overcome challenges to the point where doctors are calling her saying, what are you doing? What happened? How did you do this? How are you making progress? Whatever you're doing, please keep it up. It's helping my patient. It's creativity. It's giving them the space and the ability and the supplies and the tools and the encouragement to be creative. And it's healing. It's healing. It's salve for the soul. And it also engages the right side of your brain, which allows it to then connect to the left side of your brain. And when your left side and your right side of your brain are connecting, as she said, the brain fog lifts. The confusion lifts. The memory is improved. There's scientific evidence to support the fact that being creative just a little bit every day improves your cognitive skills. And that's what Karen is able to do. And Karen brought a fantastic quote from Albert Einstein. Creativity is intelligence having fun. Karen, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. And then just last week, we were able to spend time with Rachel Gaddis. And Rachel is helping professionals find the role that's right for them, that career shift to move to something that they're passionate about. She is that career guru, that coach that is guiding them through the transitions, the challenges that come with change. And Rachel brought us an inspiring quote. Let's take a listen to Rachel Gaddis and her quote on the Quotivation Podcast. But right now, I want to dig in, Rachel. Let's talk about your quote. I love this one.
Yes, I love this quote too.
It's fantastic.
This is a quote too that I think speaks to me because it's inspiring to me for my clients, for myself, you know, and my past, like changing careers and just seeking what I hadn't found yet. And the quote is, the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. And this has been credited to Albert Einstein. And I feel like it's a reminder, you know, that as we learn new things, as we get new information, we change. It's inevitable, right? You get new data, it changes you.
It does.
And sometimes that means you change your career.
Absolutely. And you know, change is always one of those things that when people hear change, it's scary and there's a visceral reaction to it. But because we get comfortable, we get complacent. We like things to be the way we like to know what to expect.
And so whether we like the, just an example, whether we like the people we work with or not, we know what to expect when we go in.
Exactly. The devil, you know.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah. The devil, you know, that's exactly right. And so when change happens, there's this feeling of anxiety and worry and angst because now we have to kind of quote, start over and build a relationship with this other person or with this new boss or with this new company. But what's great about it is, and I know you've probably felt this in your career, I've experienced it in mine. Anytime we make that kind of change, we are not the same person we were when we started because we've learned so much going through that path. And so we're taking with us these experiences and this starting over is not starting over from the start line we were before. It's like, it's leveling up. It's going to the next level. And I love the fact that Einstein said that the sign of intelligence, because, you know, you really have to be intentional and use your brain to think about and have the right mindset to face change. And that's what I take from this quote is it's about mindset, isn't it?
It is. Everything does come back to mindset. And I know that sounds so, you know, woo-woo, you know, well, of course a coach would say that. But, you know, I expected when I made the decision to start my own coaching practice, I had ideas, right, about what was going to be hard about it. I thought that getting clients would be the hardest thing about it. I thought that the businessy side of it, right, the getting the LLC, the like paperwork side of it would be the hardest part of it. I thought that keeping track of the money would be the hardest part because I didn't think of myself as a mathy person. I was wrong. That stuff came easy for me compared to the mindset part. Yeah. The fact that the more that I risked, the more new things that I tried, the more my little negative voices, doubts, self-doubts, you know, sometimes coaches call them gremlins, the more those things came out and started talking to me really loudly and saying, you can't do this, you know, you're not gonna, this isn't gonna stick. You always try new things, you know, and this is gonna be another one. Just whammy after whammy. And I had to really get mentally, like lift weights mentally to try to deal with this. I had to learn new tools.
Well, that was Rachel Gaddis with her quote also from Albert Einstein, who said that the measure of intelligence is based on the ability to adapt to change. And so many things change in our lives, whether it's small changes, large changes, changes in dynamics to relationships, friendships, romance, whatever the case, jobs, careers, change is inevitable. It happens in our life. We go through so many things that are difficult in change. Some of them are sad. Some of them we mourn. Some of them we're happy about. Some of them we're joyful over. But change is a part of life. And how we adapt to that change, Albert Einstein says, is the measure of our intelligence. And I think what is really being said here is not to say how smart are you based on how you handle change, but it's how you apply what you know and learn to adapting to that change. There's street smarts and there's book smarts, right? Street smarts are just kind of the common sense things that you're just cagey, you're crafty, you know how things work, you know how to get things done. That's street smarts. Book smarts, of course, is being able to remember how to do the quadratic equation, or even what it is, how to diagram a sentence. And both are very important. It's important to have book smart, to be able to apply and to know how things work, to apply math theories, to apply formulas to what you're trying to figure out at work. The book smart's incredibly important. Education is so important. But at the same time, so is street smarts. You have to have common sense. You have to know how to apply the book smart that you have to the situation that you're in. And all of that speaks to this quote about change. That's the measure of the intelligence that I believe Einstein was talking about. I want to thank Rachel Gaddis for being our 29th guest on the 29th episode of the Quotivation Podcast. And that brings us to our 30th guest, me. We do this every 10 episodes, and I always enjoy bringing a quote of my own into the mix. And this one has really been on my mind lately. It's been applicable in my life on so many different levels. And I alluded to it in a couple of episodes ago, telling a story. And I want to turn that story into a quote. So here's your 10th or your 30th quote on the Quotivation podcast, the 10th in this milestone episode. And it is this: a rose smells just as sweet in the alley as it does in the rose garden. A rose smells just as sweet in the alley as it does in the rose garden. Now, this goes back a couple of episodes as we talk about change, as we've talked about things that really comes down to blooming where you're planted. You know, a lot of times we get into situations where we look around and we're like, I shouldn't be here. This is not the right job. This is not the right relationship. This is not the right friendship. This isn't the right opportunity for me to use my time valuably. Sometimes that's simply because we're in a situation that makes us uncomfortable. It's not necessarily that the situation is bad. It just makes us uncomfortable. And it's in those situations that I would say, and I would encourage you, to bloom where you're planted. And the story that I gave is imagining a beautiful rose garden with all kind of colorful roses, red roses, white roses, yellow roses, all just beautifully arranged. And you're walking through this garden and you're smelling these roses. They smell so sweet and pure. And then imagine the darkest, grungiest place. An alley littered with trash, littered with discarded food from the restaurants that are up and down the alley. And within this alley, within this dungy place, there's something there that no one would expect. One single rose. And you bend down and you smell the rose. And the rose smells just as sweet in that alley as it does in the rose garden. See, when you're in a situation where you feel like you're uncomfortable, you're not in a situation that you really want to be in. But maybe you've been placed there for a reason. Maybe you've been placed there for what's inside of you. Maybe you've been placed there to bloom, to spread beauty into an otherwise dark and dungy place. I would encourage you to find those places and bloom where you are planted. Be the rose. Be the rose that ignites a fragrance so sweet that it cancels out any of the dirty, disgusting things that line the alley. Spread love. Spread joy. Spread the sweetness that is humankind, the ability to care for one another. You know, we have such a political climate here in the United States, and it's volatile, to say the least. I'm not going to get into politics because that's not what this podcast is about, but inevitably, every politician that I've heard has made the argument that they're going to be the ones to unite the country. Well, folks, if you're waiting on a politician to unite the country, you're going to be waiting for a very long time. Don't hold your breath. How can someone that comes from an institution that in its very core is divided by an aisle, literally, how do you expect someone that comes from that world to unite a country? Oh, sure, they talk a good game. We're going to work across the aisle. We're going to work party to party. If you really wanted to unite the country, get rid of the aisle.
get rid of the aisle. See, politicians can't unite a country because politicians work within a system that is built upon divisiveness. It's up to you. It's up to me to unite this country, this society. How do you do that? How do you unite a group of individuals who are so passionately divisive, so divided on issues, on stances, on things? How do you unite a group of people? Some would say you would find ways to have discussions about the obstacles. What are we divided upon? What are the issues? Let's talk about them. Talking about the issues is not going to solve the issue. Me talking about my side of the issue, you talking about your side of the issue, may allow me to see your perspective, but I'm still on my side of the issue. You want to unite the country, remove the issue. Remove the issue. There's a story I heard a while back. It was a story that was intended to explain the difference between equality and equity. Those are two different words. Equality means everyone's treated the same. Everyone gets the same thing. So there is a short person, there is a medium height person, and there is a tall person. Each one is standing behind a fence, trying to look over the fence so that they can watch a baseball game. Now, the tall person can see over the fence, so they're standing up close to the fence, looking over, and they can see the whole field. The medium person can barely get his eyes just above the fence line and can sort of see the game. The short person has no chance. Equality says, fine, we give each person a milk crate to stand on. Well, the tall person sets the milk crate aside. He doesn't need it. The medium height person stands on the milk crate and can now see over the fence. The short person stands on the milk crate and up to the point where the medium height person was without it, can barely see over, but they're all watching the game. So it's an equal playing field. Now, equity would say, we're not giving the tall person anything. They don't need it. They can see. We're going to give the medium height person one milk crate to stand on so that they can see. And we're going to give the short person two milk crates to stand on. And now all three individuals can see over the fence. Great. They can see the game. But the question that I have is, instead of deciding who gets how many milk crates, why don't we remove the fence? Why don't we take down the fence? And that's what you do when you are placed in a situation, when you're somewhere and you feel like you're an anomaly, you stand out, you don't belong. As long as it's a safe environment, maybe you should bloom where you're planted. Be the rose in the alley. Release that sweet smell, that wonderful fragrance of a rose. Allow it to permeate through the dirty, dark, disgusting environment that you're placed in. And pretty soon, the place won't be so dirty. It won't be so dark. It won't seem that bad because you have made a decision to make it better. A rose in the alley smells just as sweet as it does in a rose garden. I hope that helps you win your week. I want to thank you for listening for the last 30 episodes of the Quotivation Podcast. And we're just going to keep going. Every 10 episodes, we'll do this look back. But we'll be back next week with episode 31. I want to thank all of my guests, episodes 21 through 29, for being part of the Quotivation family. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this very special milestone episode. And I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.